1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We've just launched off of planet Earth. We are not in planet Earth's atmosphere any longer. We have launched into a new atmosphere called the kingdom of God. You're in the presence of angels right here. You are hearing spiritual language spoken. You're hearing things out of the Holy Spirit's teaching. And I want to review this verse again. Look at the highlighted part right here. The things of a man. For what man knoweth the things of a man. There's lots of things that man has. There's lots of things about man. But who knows the things of a man? You can have a degree in psychology. You can have a degree in electricity. You can have a degree in all kinds of things concerning human beings. And you can know a lot of things about man. You can understand how the body works. You can understand how the mind works. You can understand a lot of things about the things of a man. Oh, glory to God. The things of a man. The things of a man. Who cares about the things of a man that's going to go to die? Who's going to go to the dirt? Who's going to die? Who's going to go to death? Who's going to end up nothing? Who cares about the things of a man? But yet we'll spend 90% of our day worrying about the things of a man. The things of men. The things what people think. The things what people say. The things what people have done. Who cares? I mean, I'm telling you, who knows about all that? Well, we spend most of our time the things of a man. Who knows? Who knoweth the things of a man? Now I want us to just jump out of all that. And now we're going to go into the things of God. The next verse question is, even so, okay, here's the comparison. Even so, the things of God. Now, let's just stop here a second. I am not God. Are you God?
No.
But we're man. But God's given us an invitation to walk out of knowing about man, which is what we are, to now knowing about God, which we're not. We're not God. Have you ever been to heaven? I haven't been to heaven yet. I'm going there. Definitely going. But he's saying to us, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man? Save the spirit of man which is in him. And so here's the comparison. Now we've got an invitation, because it's easy to know the things about us and people, and because we're man. Right? We're man. You're man. I'm man. We're all flesh. Mankind. Then this thing that really jumps at me. Even so. In other words, exactly the same way. Exactly the same. Exactly the same way that. Oh my goodness. I feel the presence of God here. The exact same way that you all know, we all know about the things of man. God has given us an invitation to know about him. Exactly the same way. And look what he says. Even so, the things of God. The things of God. A lot of things. Nobody knows about it except by the Spirit. But the Spirit of God. Now he's telling us, getting ready to tell us something. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might No, the things. I'm telling you what, there's something about these things God wants us to know. There's some things we need to know that we don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things about man I don't know. I don't have a degree in psychology. I don't have a degree in medical science. I don't have a degree in physics. There's a lot of things about things I don't know. But God is saying, I'm going to give you freely things of God. I'm going to let you know. I mean, to really know? Are you kidding, God? You're giving me the opportunity to know some things? There's no way that you can know things of God without God's help. You can't know the things of God without God's help. So he says, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do you get this? The Spirit of God is given to you and I, the Holy Ghost, so you can know the things that God freely has already distributed. Stuff is on the table, folks. Stuff is laying on the table. Stuff is all around us. It's there. It's available. Things are available to know. God says, I've given you the Holy Ghost so you can know these things. Because you can't know them without the Spirit of God. You cannot know them. It doesn't matter how many seminaries you go to. I mean, how degrees of divinity you have. It doesn't matter how many times you pray on your knees. It doesn't matter how much you sacrifice money. It doesn't matter how much you give and how much you do. It's all about what is the Spirit of God revealing to things of God to you. There's things of God that you've got to get revelation on. You see, because broad is the gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to death or hell. And many on that path. But narrow is the gate. How's it go? Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads into eternal life. Do you know, I believe that you cannot walk this straight gate, narrow way, without revelation. No. You can't. Because you'll choose the broad way every time. And we don't want to walk to hell, do we? We don't want any of our family members, ourselves, to go to hell. I don't want this broad way in my life. I want to know the straight way. I want to know the narrow way. Now, the narrow way has to do with revelation. If you don't have revelation knowledge of the things of God, you don't know the things of God, you don't have a straight gate to go through. You don't have a narrow way. You don't know how to walk. Because the things of God are not natural to you and I. The things of God are foreign to us as men and women, as a man. The things of God have to be revealed to you by the Spirit of God, because no man knows these things. It's not natural to you. It's not common to us. You're not going to fall into it like ripe cherries. It's just not going to happen. You can't figure it out on your own. You can't. We have to have the Spirit of God's guidance. We have to have His direction. We have to have the revelation He wants to give you. Jesus said, there are many things I want to say to you, but you cannot get them yet. You can't handle them yet. I can't give them to you yet. You're not ready for them yet. But He will give them to you as you're ready. Things. I want you to start thinking about the things. We're in here to hear things. We're here in the presence of Almighty God. I'm here in the presence of angels. We're in the presence. Just because as a man you don't see them. Just because as a man you don't understand them. Just because as a man you can't. Because the Bible says clearly right here. No man can know them. Even so, the things of God, no man knoweth no man. Nobody can know it. But the Spirit of God knows. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the living God. He's the Spirit of truth, and He knows everything. Now, what's wonderful about it is the things that you need to know are already inside you, right here, in you and I. We have the Holy Ghost living in us. Now, do I wake up every day feeling like a champion, feeling like I'm an overcomer, I'm a victorious believer, and man, No. But there's a secret place. There's a secret place that you can get access to 100% every second, every minute, every day. The secret place is available. You know what the secret place is? Your spirit. Now, we know some certain things. We know a lot of things about man. But we're limited in our understanding, our knowledge about the things of God. And this is where I believe the Holy Spirit is really wanting to make an impression on us today. Speak to us today. Say, let's get some understanding about the things of God. And where I want to try to say to you here is that just like you are, sometimes we look at with our eyes, we look at with our feelings, we look at our emotions. We have the five physical senses, the touch, the taste, the smell. You know, do they smell good? Do they look good? Does it feel right? And you see, then you move into the soul realm and you think, well, let's see what this person, you know, let's see if we feel like it's good. Let's see if we feel like it's right. And the Holy Spirit is saying today, you cannot even know God by any of those gauges at all. Wipe that off the map. It's not going to help you in knowing the things of God, because the things of God are spiritually discerned by your spirit. The only way you're going to know the things of God is by knowing them by the human spirit. Has anybody just been reading the Bible along and all of a sudden there's like a light bulb goes off inside your belly somewhere, like bam? Mm-hmm. Anybody had that experience? Yeah, I don't mean in your head. I'm talking there's like it affects your mind, but it's like you knew something just dropped into you. Yeah. That's called a revelation. That's called a seed of the word that just came into your spirit. And you now understand something about the Spirit of God that you never understood before. Now, you're in an environment right here where you can really, really get some spiritual revelation if you open yourself up to it. Because it's not me. It's not what I know. It's what He knows through me. You see, I'm just a depositor. I'm the sower, sows the word. I'm just like you need some water? Go over to the sink, get your glass out, turn on the sink faucet, and there's water will come out of there. And you can get a big old glass of water out of that sink over there. But if it says, I'm not giving you any water, I'm not going to turn on for you, you're not getting any water. But see, I say, God, let me just turn on. Just let them draw out of me. Let them, you know, you can pull out of a minister. You can be in any church service where God is moving through a minister, and you can pull out of them something you really, really need an answer to. You really need an answer. God will give you the answer to it. You need something from God. Just come to that service or come to the, say, Lord, I need to hear a word. I need to hear a word about something. I need understanding. And then some things you don't even know you need that God knows you need, and He'll still give it to you through the minister. And then line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, let's start all making sense. You can gauge where you've grown in the last 5 years or 10 years. You can actually look back and you can say, yep, I know more now than I did yesterday, right? And if you don't have more peace than you had, you're not growing in the things of God, because that's the one way you can absolutely know whether you're growing in the things of God is your level of peace. Your level of peace and your level of joy and how to access it. You know, I'm not walking in all the things of the kingdom. I'm not walking in all the things of God, but I'm walking in more things than I used to. I have way more revelation of things of God now, because I have allowed the Holy Spirit, who knows all the things of God, to live in me, open me up, and here I am, God. I'm an open vessel. I'm an open sheet. Just write it in there. I want to know all the things of the kingdom. I want to understand the things of a kingdom. The greatest thing God ever taught me was that it's not about your feelings. You're going to have to learn, Teresa, because I was such an emotional mess. I was so broken emotionally. He said, you're going to have to put the past behind you. You're going to have to stop thinking about you the same way you used to think about you. You're going to have to stop worrying and being fretful about the future, because you don't know the future. And you know, the greatest scripture God gave me, one of the greatest things of the kingdom He gave me, was this. He said, which of you, it's so simple. It's just so simple. Stop and think about it. Which of you, by taking thought, now see, that's the soul. That's the soul. I'm going to have to make a big picture of this and hang it up. Which of you, by taking thought in your soul, can add 1 inch to your height? Can anybody raise your hand and say, oh, yeah, I've done that. I've sat and thought really hard enough, and I said, I want to be another inch taller, and I've sat there, and I've thought about it, and thought about it, and thought about it, and thought about it, and yep, I got results. Anybody can raise your hand and say you got results by what you thought? No. And he said, who can change one hair white or black by your thought life? Anybody? See, here's the kingdom talking to you. The kingdom of heaven doesn't come with observation. You can't do it by observation. You can't have access to this kingdom realm with observation. You can't access the kingdom with your soul. You can't access it with your thought life even. You access the things of the kingdom by your spirit man. I've tried adding things to my life by thinking real hard, worrying about it, thinking about it, talking about it. Spent hours on the phone talking about my problems, talking about the situations, talking about this one did that, this one did this, and this one did that. How much wasted time did I give the things of man when I should have been giving the time to the things of God that could really change the situation? Anybody with me on this? You can change the world with things of God because he created this world with those things. Those things are what matters. You see my point? Those are the things that we really need to get in our spirit, man. But you can't activate them with your mind, your will, your emotions. You have to activate these things through your human spirit. That's why he goes on to say, he's given these things to us freely. Freely. You mean God, you mean I can ask anything? And you said I'll give it to you freely? That's why he is so clearly when he says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Does he miss words? Does he say, well, maybe you'll find. Maybe you'll get it. Seek you first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom. Do you know why you've got to seek first the kingdom? Because that's where the things are. That's where the things are. It's in the kingdom. And how do you seek the kingdom? Through your human spirit. Not with your soul, not with your poor me emotional mind. You're going to have to get out of that. Because that voice can hinder the work that God wants to do in your spirit. Now, Paul made it real clear. Now, this is the question. Would God ever ask you and I to do something that was impossible? Wouldn't he be an unjust God to ask you to do something that's impossible? Well, in Philippians, Paul makes a statement. And I believe he's anointed of God and speaking by the Spirit of God. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. That's a hard thing for some folks to do, to forget the things that are behind. Tragedies, heartbreak, abuse, mean things that have been spoken and done is from childhood. I mean, it can affect you forever, right? Well, how can you just forget it? How do you just forget those things that are behind? Have you ever been in a car? I know I go take Dorothy home, and I'm going to tell you what. She lives on a hillside that you do not want to back off of. If you pull up there, it means, I got to back off because it's a dead end. And there's a very narrow road, and there's cars parked on both sides almost. And then there's a drop-off on the other side. So it's like, okay, I got to have some skill here in backing up. Most people don't have any backup skills, especially in a five-speed pickup. So I'm backing up in a little five-speed, trying to see that I make sure I don't hit or clip anything. And I said, Dorothy, you're going to have to walk down to the end of the hill here. I'm sorry, I'm not driving up there anymore. But most people live their entire lives in the rearview mirror, looking back at every single thing they do. They drive their life like that. They literally live their life out looking back. Can't move forward. And God wants you he wants you to get traction. He wants you moving into the things of God. The things of kingdom. The things of kingdom. So you're getting something here. This is a real important thing that you get the things of God in you. Now, here's what he says. Let me go ahead and read. Because a note, things. I'm going to read it all again. Let's look at things here. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Spirit of man. Because you know them by the, except the spirit of man is in him. You know these things by the spirit of man. Because you're a man. Even so, just the same way, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. This is why it's so beautiful that God has went to so much trouble to get the Holy Spirit in you so you can know the things he wants you to know. Because without the Holy Spirit, you'd never get it. It's impossible to know the things of God without the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Nope, I don't want it. I don't want it anymore. I don't want the spirit of the world anymore. I don't want to be concerned with those soap operas anymore. I don't want to see who killed somebody on the Days of Lives anymore. I don't want to see if Rachel is going to commit suicide or not. I don't want to think about those things anymore. Man, I used to be caught up in all that mess.
I did too.
It was a mess.
A mess.
A big mess. And then the next thing you know, you're bringing that mess in your home.
That's right.
Oh, cry over these people. Oh, she just died. You know, it's crazy because you had those things on your mind the most.
Yeah.
Has anybody used to iron clothes and couldn't wait till it's 1 o'clock? I got to go. See you. Talk to you later. Hang up the phone. Watch All My Children, Days of Our Lives. All My Children, Days of Our Lives were the ones I was stuck on. Things get in you because you know the things of a man, right? Because they're satisfying. Things of a man are satisfying to the man. So the flesh, yeah. So the things of God, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of which is of God, that we might know the things. We might know the things. Does it automatically say, oh, you will know the things? He does know you might know. But see, the might part is your part. The might part is my part. How much do I know now? Has totally depended on how much I have sought the kingdom from my spirit. Okay. See, the things I know right now did not come into my spirit man by accident. I was very much engaged in what I know now. I didn't know what I was getting to know. I didn't know what I was going to learn. I don't know any. How do you know those things if you don't know those things? But God knows those things. But I'm telling you, if you need an answer, here's some good news. Here's exciting news. I know that no matter how big the problem is, I know that no matter how crazy life gets, I know, this is something I know. It doesn't matter. God has the answer to those things. And guess where he is? In me. So is there a situation, a problem, a circumstance that's going to come up in your life that you're going to be without any hope, without any help, that you're just not going to make it, that you're going to die? Remember the cartoon, Daffy Duck? We're just all going to die. No, you're not going to die. Not when you've got the Spirit of the Living God in you. You got the Spirit of the Living God. I was praying about someone. I was praying about someone. I'm concerned about someone being spiritually dead. Spiritually dead, emotionally dead, unreachable. And you know what Jesus said to me? This is what he said to Martha. He said, Lazarus has been dead 4 days, right? He's stinking. The Holy Spirit, the power of God, working in Jesus, Jesus being the resurrection. He was ordained to be the resurrection of life. He said, do you believe that I'm the resurrection? And then he says, I am the resurrection. You have resurrection living in you. No matter how dead something looks, the resurrection is in you. He knows how to resurrect dead things. He knows how to resurrect anything dead. Do you think anything dead is a big deal to God? Big deal to us, but not to the Holy Spirit. He is the resurrection. He's already proven that he's the resurrection. Oh, there's so many things God wants to give us. I can sense it in my spirit that God's got so many things. And he's getting ready to give us some more here. Now, here's what he says in verse 13. See, he says he's going to give them to us freely. Well, let's just get our basket ready. Let's get excited. Let's say, oh, man, I got some good stuff coming. I'm going to know some things freely. 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 So God is saying, I want to give things to you freely. I want to pour them into you freely. I don't want to just trickle them in you. I want to pour into you. I want to fill you full of things. I want you to be able to pour out things. You see, but the level that you've received, he said, you've received freely, you've received freely give. We just expect God to be stingy. I'm telling you, we do. We see a stingy God. We don't see God in the right perspective. But the Word will make you see Him in the right perspective. You'll begin to see God as being a free-handed God, not a stingy God. He doesn't want to just give you a little trickle here and there. He wants to fill up buckets and pour on you freely. Freely. He's not stingy. He wants to pour into you and I. He is so open, and He's not mad at you. He's not holding any of your offenses against you. He wants to bless you beyond belief. He wants to bless you, provide for you, give you. Oh, my goodness. He just wants to give you everything. But He knows that you can't contain it. Because if He filled that, if you had a little bitty bucket this big, and He took His big wash pan and poured it in there, it would overflow, wouldn't it? He knows the capacity you're able to contain. So what He's always doing is stretching us for more, stretching us for more, stretching us for more, stretching us for more. So every problem you ever face is just an opportunity for you to stretch for more freely things. I'm ready for more things now. I need a revelation here because I know it's in me. I know the revelation of how to deal with this is in me. So give me some more revelation here. Because I'm expanding my ability. I'm not giving up. I'm not going back. I'm not going to close the door on you, God. I'm just going to expand for more. I'm going to get more. Stretch me more, God. Expand your tents. Stretch out your stakes. Get ready. More's coming. You know, every trial, every problem, every persecution, every situation. I mean, I've been through some tribulations. I just would step back and say, I'm ready for some more revelation now. I'm ready to understand what to do. Because I would not give up. Most people run away from God rather than run to God. But I'd run to God for more things. Give me some more things here. Things of the kingdom. I don't mean material things. I'm talking things of the kingdom. Things of the kingdom are not material. The things of the kingdom are kingdom things. Do y'all get what I'm saying? So more kingdoms coming. And just get happy when you get persecuted. If you have a problem in this world, do you know what I did when I had the Bell's palsy? I started worshiping God because I'm going to get some things out of this. I'm not going to let this be for nothing. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not going to let this be for nothing. I'm going to learn some things out of this. See, I looked at every situation, every problem, every circle as an opportunity for more things out of the kingdom. Because the things of the kingdom are only going to fix that. See, you got to have an opportunity for more things so you can get more things. Woo! Sometimes we need to get excited when we get persecuted. What Jesus said, rejoice and leap for joy when they persecute you. For great is your reward. You know what my reward is? More things. More things. Do you need all these things in heaven? You're going to get them automatically there. But you need them now. Yes. Things now. Yes. You need to know how to walk upon scorpions and serpents and nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. This is where you need the things. Yes. So I'm getting your bucket bigger. God's just giving you capacity to get more things. Yep. Things of the kingdom. Big deal. It's a big deal. The thing you were going through, I looked at that and I thought to myself, she's going to learn some things. She's going to learn some things about the kingdom. Going to walk in the kingdom on this man. You know, it's either one or the other. You're going to walk in the things of the world and do it the way the world does it, or you're going to do it the way God does it. That's good. The things will dominate those things. The things of God dominate the things of this world. Wow. That's just the way it is. But he needs you to be a contributor in this. He needs you to be a participator in these things coming to you. You have to be willing to receive it. Willing to receive it and say, yeah, I like that. I think that's a good thing, God. I don't understand it, but I'm ready for those things. Amen. Freely gives you those things. You'll never see this verse again, will you, the same way? Mm-mm. Right? There's some things coming at us. Then he says, verse 13, which things, here I'm speaking some things about the kingdom, which things also we speak. I'm speaking some things out of my spirit because I've got experience in these things. Not in everything. Now, not in everything, when I've raised 26 people from the... But I am going to, because I'm pressing into more things. I tried to raise somebody from the dead once. I really did. I really did. In front of everybody. That's some boldness, ain't it? Ain't that some boldness? I was only a Christian about 4 years, or maybe four. But I always said, Lord, I want to do these things that Jesus did. I want to do the things. Well, it's taken time to learn to do these things. Which things also we speak, not in the words. Now, I want to point something real important out. I should have highlighted words right here. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Words. Words. See, man uses words too to teach. But God uses words to teach. Jesus was called the Word made flesh. So it's the words of God that teach you the things of the kingdom. Very simple. Yes. Comparing spiritual things to spiritual words. How does he communicate with words? Words convey an image. You are, you and I are, oh, glory to God. We have the capacity to expand our imagination to see into the kingdom. Amen. You can see into the kingdom through your imagination that the words that he gives you in your spirit will bring up into your soul. Because your soul is a part of your imagination. You see how your soul is affected by the things that you receive from him? So here he gives you a thing. That's what Abraham did. That's exactly what God did with Abraham. Abraham wasn't full of the Holy Ghost like we are. He was not a regenerated human spirit. He didn't have what we have. But God spoke a word to him. And he said, look at the stars of the heavens. That's what your seed are going to look like. And he didn't even have a baby. Look at the sands of the sea. He gave him something to look at. God's words will give you something to look at. So you can see what he wants you to see. So you can have that image on the inside of you. And you can see these things. Isn't it wonderful to be able to see into the kingdom? You have the capacity to see into the kingdom. Because you can't see it naturally. You have to see it spiritually. Okay, let me move on. Time is moving. We only had this 1 hour, right? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now let's just think about this a minute. If we know that we go to school to learn algebra, natural things of the man. We go to school to learn about biology, natural things that we can teach somebody. Comparing natural things with natural things, right? They draw illustrations. You get the frog, you dissect the frog, you get to look at it, you get to think about it, you get to write it down, you take a test on it, and you're learning. You went to college. You all been to college. Some of you have been to school. You learn things because they are teaching you something natural, right? Well, the Holy Ghost has got to get us out of the thinking realm into the spirit realm. Because the Holy Spirit wants to begin to teach you spiritual things, and he does it very similarly. He has to have something to compare that spiritual new truth he's going to introduce to you to something that you're familiar with. Spiritual. Teaching, comparing spiritual things to another spiritual thing. Now, what I believe this is saying, and I believe it with all my heart, that until you get born again, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you've got to get born again. You've got to get the king in you. The kingdom has come in you through the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is going to reveal more kingdom to you. So until you get the kingdom in you, you can't get anything from the kingdom. You can't enter into the kingdom. You can't get revelation of the kingdom without being born again. Because it's only through the Spirit of God in your human spirit that he compares spiritual things to spiritual things. Now, this, what's the most spiritual thing you have right now? This is pure, 100% spiritual. This is a spiritual thing right here. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they're life. The Word of God is the only book on this planet that came out of heaven. Now, I believe God gave other authors books, like Kenneth Hagin wrote books that came out of, through a, but I'm talking Word of God. This is the original. God talked to men and gave them revelation word. It says he's the author of this book from the beginning to the end. So every time you pick it up, I want you to think about spiritual things are in here. There's spiritual things in this book. And all you got to do is go to the Holy Spirit who's living in you, who is the Spirit of the living God, and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to give me some spiritual things that I need right now, maybe for face things I don't even know I'm going to face tomorrow. How to believe for a job, how to believe for whatever it is I need. I need some things, God, physical things, but it's, I want to get it through the Holy Spirit's revelation. I want to know how to live life to its fullest out of the kingdom. Now, if you want to go find your rich man, ladies, who is madly in love with you, who would give you anything you want, it'd still just be temporary, right? Well, I'm telling you, I can introduce you to a man who died for you and I, who wants to give you everything, who is so in love with you that he would just do anything for you. In fact, the scripture says, he that delivered him up for us all. We're talking about the Father. How shall he not also freely give you all things? Romans chapter 8, 31, I think. He wants to give you all things. Glory to God. Gives to you all things. There's some things waiting on you and I, waiting on us to receive from the Spirit of God. If we'll just take time to hear. You know, if I didn't go to school, if I didn't take some time in the classroom, I wouldn't have learned anything. We gotta get some things. Now I want to go to the second page. And I want to show you another verse here before I close. The last verse, you can take this paper home and study it. But you see this last verse here, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. That's a real important verse here. And this verse has to do with things, majorly things. Let's just read it. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You've heard the old saying, you reap what you sow. And we just think it's all about money, right? It's all about giving food or giving clothes or giving. Something you got to sacrifice and give. And then you'll get it back. And that's what it says. It says you give, you receive. But I am here to tell you that if you have a revelation and you have received something from the Spirit of God, the greatest thing you could ever do is share it with somebody. Because if you will make a point to take what you little bit you know and get excited about it and share it with somebody else, sow it into somebody else's life. Even they may think you're crazy, sow it anyway. Because you're giving them the gift of life. You're speaking truth to them. Sow into that person. Pray. When you pray, you're sowing into people. Did you know that? Anytime you take time to get on your knees and pray for another person, you're sowing into them. spiritual things. Comparing spiritual with spiritual, right? You just have stepped out of this physical world and moved into the kingdom when you start doing spiritual things like this. Paul is saying here, now he's bringing it down to a level of need in the churches. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. I never wanted to ever reap sparingly. Who wants to live out their life just barely getting by? I like sowing bountifully, and I like reaping bountifully. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. That means if you give $10, if you just give $10, you can say, Jesus, you said, here's things of the kingdom. You said, if I give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Does you see the picture? He's painting a picture. Pressed down. You know, I've got a little canister over here, and when I get my coffee and bring it in here, I mean the sugar for the canister. Anybody ever done this? You try to get all of it in there you can. What do? Bam, pound it real good, right? Get it to settle in. Bam, 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 bam. And pour a little more in there now. Bam, 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 bam. Pour a little more in there. Bam, bam, bam. That's what God says he's going to do when you give. That's some good news. That's just kingdom revelation. But if you do it for selfish reasons now, that's a whole different, that's a man thing. But we're talking spiritual now. Spiritual things comparing to spiritual. Okay? He says then, he that soweth sparingly, reap sparingly. Got it. He that soweth bountifully, reap bountifully. Got it. Thank you. I got that. I got that thing. That's a thing of the kingdom. That's not a natural thing. This is kingdom talk. Kingdom revelation. Okay, then. Then in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Basically what he's saying, you're given, if you're given it to be seen, or giving it just because you just have to, then forget it. You don't even need to do it because that's not the way spiritual things work. God's kingdom is all about love. God's kingdom is all about faith. Faith works by love. So if you believe that this works, then it frees you up to be spiritual, see, in your giving. Freedom. Freedom to give. Freedom not to give. Freedom to do whatever God wants you, you know, be led by your human spirit with the Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 8, and this is the key. This is a key verse, and I got it highlighted. Here, you see the word and there? And. It's so good to me, because I know that there's been times I've given, and it's like, after I did it, I thought, did I just do that? I did, but I did it out because I was being led by my spirit. I knew God said, do that. And I knew my spirit was, yes, do that. But then your emotions catch up. Your mind catches up with it later. Anybody ever had that happen? And then you think, I can't believe I just did that. I could have bought this, this, and this with that. But see, you can rejoice in a spiritual thing because look what he says. Here's the and. Here's where your faith has got to kick in. And God, here's spiritual kingdom, and God, who is the King of the kingdom, is able to make all grace abound towards you. God's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, I don't know if you've ever been like me, but it's like the devil comes along and says, you'll never be able to pay another bill. You already gave it all away. You'll never be able to give again. You'll never be able to do that again. You're going to go without now. And it's like the verse has to be real. This kingdom has to be more real on the inside than it is your emotions and what the enemy can lie to you. Because and God, you got to say, and God is able. This will free you up to be more obedient to God in your giving too. This will be more, it'll free you up and be more giving in your time with other people. Because it doesn't work just with money. It works with anything in the kingdom. Your prayer life will be freer. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now this is big. This is a huge thing, kingdom thing right here. Huge kingdom thing coming at you. Huge. And I hope that it really sticks, because if you don't see how God's grace wants to abound towards you, that you can be a bigger giver, a bigger time in your prayer life, a greater time in your sowing His word to other people, a greater, you cannot outgive Him, because His grace will abound towards you. Because let me tell you, God is looking to and fro upon this earth. He's watching everything we do. And if He sees somebody who really wants to give to Him, nobody gives a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple. You can't even give somebody a drink of water that God doesn't see it, that He'll lose His reward. That's how important giving is to God. God loves a cheerful giver. But don't give unless you're happy about it, for goodness sakes. I mean, God sees that too. But the grace thing is what I'm trying to get at. Because there's things we need. And I know that God's grace abounds toward me. Now, what does abound mean to you? It may mean different things to other people. But to me, when I think about God abounding toward me, the grace of God abounding toward me, see, the grace of God is not just God likes me. The grace of God is God's power and ability to get me over, to get me under, to get me around, to get me through, to get me past the problem, totally 100% victorious. God's ability working in my life to know problem can be bigger than God. That's God's grace abounding toward Teresa. I've seen God's grace abound toward me when it didn't look like it, didn't feel like it. But you can't live out your walk with God in the soul realm, in your feeling realm. That's a man thing. What things know the things of a man, except the spirit of man that's in him. Even so, no man knoweth the things of God except the Spirit of God, which is in him. But we have not received the things of the Spirit of man, but of the Spirit of God, that we can know freely those things that He gives us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Isn't that good news? You got to believe that. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. All grace. When you write that $5,000 check, grace is coming, buddy. Abounding toward me. God's grace abounds toward me. God's grace abounds toward me. You see, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you again. See, we limit God. We don't see God as being big enough to abound towards you abundantly above all you could ask or think. So we got to start realizing that God wants to give some things over to us. Some of us need these things in our lives. Some of these things have to come to us through this abounding grace. See, grace has got, you've got to define grace. Grace is God wanting to climb over a mountain to get to you. God's grace is whatever He has to do to see to it that this gets taken care of. Sometimes God will sacrifice people for you. Believe it. I'm telling you. I've had men get in my way that God had to move out of the way. I'm sorry for them. I'm sorry that happened, but I'm telling you, God will abound toward me. I got God's attention. I mean, I'm telling you, God abounds towards you. Verse 10. God is able to abound towards you, that you always, don't you love these words, always, always having all sufficiency? See, what you're doing is you're setting yourself up. Now, I'm not just talking about giving money. I'm not talking about giving money. I'm talking about giving of your time to kingdom of God. I'm talking about coming to the king, coming and getting involved in the king's work. I'm talking about anything you give does not go unnoticed by God. I promise you. I'm driving a pickup truck that I'm so blessed. It's getting ready to turn 300,000 miles. And it drives like a brand new one. But see, that's God's grace abounding toward me because I like my truck. Well, God wants to give you a better truck than that, but I like this one. Got history with this one. This one's my baby. I love my truck. It is. It is a walking testimony. So there's some grace abounding toward me because God knows my heart. See, all these things will be added unto you. Let's finish this verse. 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread to your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Now, this applies to finances, of course it does. But I'm telling you, it applies to more than that. It applies to every aspect of our lives because what things of the kingdom. See, we've got to have some more revelation of the things of the kingdom. The things of the kingdom is not just about going to heaven. The things of the kingdom is not just about getting your needs met. The things of the kingdom are not just about making sure you can pay your water bill or electric bill. That's basic stuff. God wants to give you all grace abounds. He wants to be able to send you to Africa if you need to go. He wants to be able to send you to Peru. Do you know that when I went to Peru to minister there, about the same number of people, I said, Lord, I know you're sending me. I know you're sending me. I know you're going to make the way, but I have to have enough money in that offering plate to pay all the bills for the month of January and all the bills for the month of February because I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here. So I said, Lord, I need enough money in that offering plate to pay all these bills. In 2011, I was gone a whole month in Peru and got to preach over there. And I mean, it was a wild experience, but I got to minister to a lot of people and pray for a lot of people. And I mean, it was fabulous. I mean, people were falling out in the spirit. It was like, these people are so hungry for God. But that Sunday before I left, the very last Sunday, and I'm catching the plane like the next day, there was $3,000 in this offering plate. Wow. Anybody in here give that much? I don't know if anybody put that in there, but somebody put $3,000 in that offering plate. Do y'all remember that back in 2011? And then as I was walking out the door, someone came up to me and handed me $300 in cash and said, this is for your trip. Enjoy yourself. So I didn't even ask for money. Do I ask for money? No. But see, God causes grace, the grace of God. This is something that we very little know little about, is the grace of God. We've always thought it was, well, God's unmerited favor. God likes me. Well, that is not all it is. It's the power of God working in your behalf is grace. The power of God wanting to abound towards you. The power of God wanting to show up when you need it to show up, not just at the nick of last minute. Everything in here has been called in. The grace has abounded. Now more grace has got to abound. But as we can handle it, you know, we're going to have way more. I mean, grace is just there. It's available. I don't know why I got into that, but I got one other scripture. It really was on my heart this morning. And I want you to read all of these when you get a chance. Okay, here it is. Here's one verse. On the first page, John 14:21. The next verse over. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. This is a big deal right here. Now, automatically, don't shut down because I'm talking about do's and don'ts here. Because that's not what he's talking about. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, He will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's that sent me. Wow. Now here's a spiritual thing being compared to another spiritual thing. We understand rules. That's natural man stuff, okay? We understand the Ten Commandments. That was the law that Moses was given. But when God had a relationship with Abraham, there was no law. Abraham just got a word from God and he believed it, right? See, the commandments are not the Ten Commandments here. He's not talking about a list of rights and wrongs and do's and don'ts. He's talking about himself. If you know his words are him, he is the commandment. You know what the commandment he gave the church? Only one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. But you can't do that if you don't know Jesus. You first have to fall in love with Jesus. He is the commandment that God spoke. Remember what it says? God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that the knowledge of God would shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a commandment, that his word is to shine in your heart. And if you've got that light and that revelation commandment shining in you, oh, glory to God, it opens you up to the kingdom. Opens you up to the kingdom, and God will manifest himself to you. He will manifest himself to you in cars and houses and lands. He'll manifest. He says, no man hath forsaken fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, lands for the kingdom's sake, that he will not receive a hundredfold in this life, fathers, brothers, sisters, and lands with persecution. You see, there's things he wants to give us. There's things in Revelations that are not natural. Because we wanted to compare spiritual things to natural things, and you can't. You have to compare spiritual things to spiritual things. Now, you can use natural things to kind of help you understand it. But I'm telling you, he's talking about not the Ten Commandments, but he's talking about himself. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that the light of the glory of God would shine in your hearts through the face of Jesus Christ. God's knowledge, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. It's got to come by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I'll show up in your life. I will manifest myself to you. I'll manifest myself on that job. I will speak to that boss in the wee hours of the night. I'll manifest myself to your enemy. I'll make them wake up in a cold sweat. There was a man, I heard Bill Winston talk about, there was a man was smacking around on his wife. And she was a godly woman. And he said, the Lord spoke to him in the middle of the night and said, you touch that woman one more time, you're going straight to hell. And he never did another, never, ever, ever hit that woman again. In fact, he held the door open for her. He took her shopping. He took her, did anything she wanted. It shook him up so bad. Hello, Walter. You've been fleeing. But did you all get a blessing this morning? Things are yours. All things are yours, Jesus said. All things are yours. You know, I just listen to the word things. I hear things from God. Aren't you glad he shows you things? He's got so many things to give you and I. He wants to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things. Not just money. I mean, that's part of it. Because we do need money. Money answers all things. But I'm telling you, we got to start thinking about how big the bucket is that God wants to pour out of. He doesn't pour out of a little cup. He's God's God. That's this gigantic bucket. He measures how's the scripture say? He measures the ocean in his hand. And he poured out on you and I grace. Well, Father, I seal this word today. I thank you for it. I thank you for your revelation word today. And it will not return void, but these things will be sealed in our hearts, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And you said you'd manifest to us. So, Father, I ask for revelation, knowledge, and I ask for visitation. I ask, Lord, that you will manifest yourself in dreams and visions. And you said your young men would see dreams and your old men would have visions, or maybe the other way around. But I ask you, Lord, to bless your people today. Bless your children, Father. Provide for us, God, in every area. In Jesus' name. Amen.